Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com and the host of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. I want to encourage you to subscribe to our podcast if you don't already, so you can get all of our shows right when they are available. We've got Blitzed Bills and Circling the Wagons podcast, in addition to Buffalo Rumblings Q&A on the same channel. All you have to do is subscribe once, and you get all three of those in your feed. And we have a new podcast coming next week that we'll make an official announcement on next week that you can subscribe to, that I'm really looking forward to being a part of as well. All that is part of the Buffalo Rumblings channel on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe, leave a rating for us on iTunes. It helps other people find the podcast. All that stuff. Tell a friend, retweet us, help other people find the show. It helps us a lot. As always, you can call ahead with your questions for Buffalo Rumblings Q&A by dialing in at 716-508-0405. You can tweet us at Rumblings Q&A. That's with the word "and" spelled out in the middle. You can send us email questions, and we have one of those this week, to BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. You can leave comments in the comments section of our show notes post at Buffalo Rumblings when it posts every Wednesday. You can even send us Facebook messages at Buffalo Rumblings. Lots of ways to get in touch with the show. This week's show is a little bit late because my dog decided he wanted to eat my microphone, the one that I've been using for the last few months. It's actually the second time he's gotten a hold of it. The first time he absolutely demolished my windscreen around my microphone. This time he got the pop filter and left a pretty nice dent in the microphone. It wasn't working, so I ordered a new one. It came on Wednesday, so I'm recording this Wednesday night instead of Tuesday night, which is when I normally get to record. So a little bit late for this week's podcast. I'm sure you can understand. But now it's time for the question I'm getting a lot this week. Now that the first wave of free agency is over, what are the biggest holes remaining on the Bills roster heading into April and the 2019 NFL draft? Well, I think it's pretty clear. There's only one position on the roster that I would feel absolutely despondent if the Bills didn't address over the course of the next few weeks, and that's tight end. Right now, Tyler Kroft is kind of the de facto starter at tight end. They signed him to a pretty nice free agency contract over the last month. Jason Kroom is number two on that list, and that's just because he's been in the system a little bit and has some experience playing tight end. I don't think the Bills really want to rely on him going forward. And then they have Jake Fisher, the converted offensive tackle that they signed just this week. Fisher, of course, comes from the Bengals, just like Kroft, but Fisher was playing offensive tackle a few months ago. He said he couldn't keep up the weight to stay at tackle, so he's going to convert to tight end. He does have some experience catching the ball in the NFL as kind of gimmick plays or plays designed specifically for him to get out into the open field and try to trick opposing defenses. So if they don't add somebody in that at that position, I think the Bills are going to be in a lot of trouble. They added, you know, wide receivers and John Brown and Cole Beasley. Plus they have Zay Jones and Robert Foster at the position. So they have pass catchers, but they really need a guy at the tight end position that could be dangerous, who can either be a blocker or a pass catcher. And I don't know if Kroft rises to that level of competency. And even if he does, I don't know if they have a good enough 1-2 punch for me to really consider the position settled. Looking at a couple other of the big roster holes, I think they do have a hole on their offensive line, and it could be a tackle or guard, depending on where you want to slot in Deion Dawkins. If the Bills went out and drafted a left tackle, a stud left tackle at the in number 9 pick, you know, they could move Dawkins to left guard, move Wyatt Teller to the bench, keeps Mitch Morris, of course, at center, Spencer Long at right guard, and then Ty Nsekhe at right tackle. And I think you got a pretty good starting five. You have depth with Teller in the middle. You've got depth with Russell Bodine. You've got, you know, just guys that can play around the offensive line. And then if something really bad happened, like at left tackle, they could kick Dawkins out to left tackle and, you know, move Teller back into the starting lineup or something like that. If you think that they should draft a guard in, say, the third, fourth round, somewhere in there, to take Teller's place or maybe Spencer Long's place or something like that, then they still have, you know, pretty good depth along the offensive line. So they need either a starting level guard or starting level tackle, in my opinion. And that's what you're here for, is my opinion. I'm answering the questions. So tight end is my number one need going forward into April, with either offensive tackle or offensive guard close behind. And again, it just really depends on where they see Deion Dawkins long-term. They should add a guy at the other position. If they see Dawkins as a tackle, they should add a guard. If they see Dawkins as a guard, they should add a tackle. I don't know. I don't know anything about Bobby Anderson, the new offensive line coach, so it's harder for me to speculate on that and where the Bills kind of want to go in that direction with Dawkins. That's the question I'm getting a lot this week. Jeff from Boston sent us an email question this week to BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com, and he laid out two different scenarios for how April's first round of the NFL draft could shake out, and asked me which I would prefer. The first is with multiple quarterbacks going in the top 9 picks, pushing the top defensive line talent down to Buffalo at number 9. That's scenario 1. And scenario 2 is only one quarterback is taken before number 9, and it opens up a big trade market for the Bills pick at number 9 ahead of the Denver Broncos. And he asked me, which scenario is Brandon Bean hoping plays out? Would he prefer that extra second rounder or a third rounder, or would he prefer to draft a stud defensive lineman? I think in this draft class, I think he would prefer that extra second or third round pick because the defensive end and defensive tackle positions are so deep in this class. You know, having all that top flight defensive line talent is also going to push down some really quality defensive line talent into the second and third round. So if the Bills can move down, say, 5, 6, 7, 8 spots into the middle of the first round, still get maybe one of the tight ends or an offensive tackle that falls or something like that, and then in the second round get two more players because they were able to trade for a 2019 second round pick or something like that, then it really can solidify them long-term going forward with talented players. Now, you might not get that high-end talent you could possibly get at that number 9 pick, but you can add a whole bunch of significant pieces that can play for you for a long time. And with where the Bills' needs fit this current draft class, I just think the options are so wide open because there's going to be tight ends, there's going to be wide receivers, there's going to be defensive ends, there's going to be defensive tackles, all positions of need for the Bills that are right in that second, third round sweet spot where they're going to be getting that additional pick if somebody trades up from the middle of the first round. Plus, they'll be getting better value in the first round for somebody that falls down to 15 with Washington's picking or 17 where the Giants are picking or something like that. So there's going to be a lot of options for them if they trade back. And that's not even saying that they'll get a first round pick in 2020. This is all for the 2019 draft because there's so much talent available at those positions where the Bills could really use a young guy at defensive end, a young guy at defensive tackle, or a starter at tight end like we just talked about in the first segment. Thanks for your question, Jeff. Thank you for being a Bills fan in Boston, and thanks for emailing us at BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. Our next question comes into our voicemail line at 716-508-0405.
Yes, my name's Rick. I'm calling from Cape Coral, Florida. Why don't the Bills consider re-signing Chris Hogan since the Patriots don't want to? He's doing fine for them, and he did fine for the Bills. Bills should put him back in a Bills uniform. Thank you.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for being a Bills fan in Southern Florida. Can't always be easy. I'm probably going to give you an answer that you aren't expecting, but I actually do have a really good answer for this question this week. Chris Hogan is a noted former lacrosse player at Penn State University. Another former lacrosse player at Penn State University is Hogan's wife, Dr. Ashley Baccio. She also happens to be the mother of a new set of twins. Hogan and his wife live on Long Island, and even during the Patriots season last year, Hogan was commuting a lot. On his days off last year, he would come to Long Island on Monday night, spend his day off Tuesday with his family, and go back Tuesday night to be with the Patriots during the practice week. That's a little bit more complicated if he's trying to fly from anywhere, really. In fact, the only free agency visit that Hogan has taken so far this offseason has been with the New York Giants, who, as you may know, are pretty darn close to Long Island themselves. As his wife is completing her residency, and he has these young twins at home that were born during the season last year, it makes a lot of sense for Hogan to try and juggle all that by staying close to Long Island, whether it's with the Patriots again, or with the Giants, or even the New York Jets. But I don't think he's going to go to Buffalo, and I don't think he's going to go to another NFL team anytime soon. With the Giants signing Golden Tate, his best option might be returning to New England on a team-friendly deal. As far as the Bills go, I don't really see the fit. They signed Cole Beasley to be their slot receiver. They've got John Brown, who they obviously like enough to sign during free agency this offseason. They have Zay Jones and Robert Foster, who played very well for them down the stretch in 2018 and have a rapport with both Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. I just don't know where he fits. Thanks for calling in at 716-508-0405. We encourage all of our listeners to call in and ask their questions using that phone number any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We'll be right back after this break.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Our Twitter question of the week this week comes from Tom S. at Toolshed, spelled T-O-O-L-S-C-H-E-D. I like that pun. From Toolshed, says, after seeing what the Bills did in free agency, where do you see them going with the ninth pick? From the NFL owners meetings, Brandon Bean said he was going to go best player available. I think the Bills have set themselves up for a couple different positions to kind of be still on the board, but I do also think they're going to be looking a little bit toward the future with that defensive end thing. Jerry Hughes is entering the last year of his contract, and he's 31 or 32. Shaq Lawson is entering the last year of his contract. Trent Murphy wasn't great in 2018, so the Bills have to be looking ahead at grabbing a pass rusher. They've got to replace Kyle Williams and his ability to penetrate at defensive tackle. They need to replace Charles Clay at tight end. And they need to figure out one more piece of their offensive line. So they could go a lot of different directions. And I think that actually helps them right now, because if they're sitting at number 9 and they've still got 5 or 6 or 7 first-round grades on their board, and someone that's 5 or 6 picks behind them calls and says, hey, can we trade up for this guy, whatever, and you look at your board and you've got 5 guys with similar grades, and there's only 5 picks between you and that pick or whatever it happens to be, then you can move down, get a guy with a similar grade, and pick up a nice asset in the second or third round for, you know, adding more depth at more positions. I think the Bills are in a very good position to draft kind of anywhere they want right now, because they have addressed so many different positions in free agency. I also wouldn't take wide receiver off the board. They've got a couple of guys that they could release after 1 year. Maybe Zay Jones isn't a guy that's developing into a piece they want to count on long term. So I think there's a lot of different ways that they can go with this first pick of the 2019 NFL draft. And it's really hard to pin down kind of Brandon Bean's leanings, because last year they traded up twice. They traded up to get Josh Allen, their quarterback of the future, and were very aggressive in that trade up. And they traded up to get Trey Edmonds, who they probably would have considered taking at number 11 or wherever they're picking in the middle to the top of the 2018 NFL draft, because he was falling into the 20s and they wanted to get their quarterback of the defense. So Brandon Bean has shown characteristically that he's an aggressive trader. He has no problem trading away assets to obtain other assets, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Cordy Glenn, or trading up for Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. With that being said, I don't think that's his default setting. I don't think he's, you know, a wheeler and dealer that wants to trade up in the 2019 NFL draft. Most general managers would be content to trade back and let talent fall to them. And I think that's where Brandon Bean wants to live. So he's either going to take the best player available on his board at number 9 or take one of those draft trades that are floated towards him, whether it's the Giants, the Washington team, or whoever that wants to trade up and get their quarterback of the future. You know, Bean's on the other side of the coin this year than he was last year when he was making phone calls to try to move up to get whichever quarterbacks he was interested in at 2 and 3, and ultimately the guy he took in Josh Allen. We've got a bonus Twitter question this week sent to @RumblingsQ&A. This one's from Scott Fletcher, who asks, why are we signing midget wide receivers? They're 5'8 and 5'10. But then we sign a 6-foot-tall cornerback. He goes on to ask, I'm just wondering why the Bills aren't getting tall, long reach wide receivers, knowing that Allen has accuracy problems. You can't teach accuracy unless they're expecting Barkley or Anderson to finish out the season if Allen can't go. I think the key with the Bills wide receiver core as it is constituted currently is that they're looking for separation. One of the things the Bills wide receivers weren't able to do very well last year was gain separation. They weren't able to find open space, especially open space at the right time. And so that's one thing that Cole Beasley can do. He can stop on a dime, find the open space. And John Brown has the speed to get open behind defenses and, you know, deep in the defensive backfield. Same with Robert Foster. So the Bills are creating mismatches in that way. Hopefully they'll hopefully they'll draft a tight end to be able to do the same thing at a different position. They'll have enough time because they have a reconstituted offensive line, the ball to those players, or, you know, use the run to set up the pass or whatever it happens to be. But the Bills are signing wide receivers that can gain separation, not necessarily the guy that can climb up the other, the defender and get the ball. That number one receiver that Buddy Nix used to talk about back in the day, guy that was open even when he was covered. And, you know, your Calvin Johnson types, your Larry Fitzgerald types. There's not a lot of those guys in the league, and even fewer of them have won for a sustained period of time. You know, think about some best ones that are around right now is A.J. Green. Bengals haven't done a whole lot. Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals haven't done a lot since, well, a long, long time. And, you go down the list of all these top wide receivers, Julio Jones and these other number one stud wide receivers, and what have they won really? Odell Beckham Jr., even Antonio Brown. You go through the list, and they just haven't been doing well. Tim Graham did a nice little article on that quote-unquote number one wide receiver for the Athletic Buffalo and talked about a lot of this stuff. If you want to go find that article, maybe I can dig it up and put it into the show notes. But, you know, those big number one receivers that people spend a ton of money on don't necessarily help their team, and especially with a guy like Josh Allen who, yeah, he could use Odell Beckham Jr. like Eli Manning used to use Plaxico Burress as that safety net when he was a young quarterback, but it could lead to developing some bad habits too, because then you're forcing the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. instead of, you know, maybe who the best option might be on that play. So we'll see how it plays out in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, who seems like a guy that has enough swagger that he can deal with that. As far as the Bills, they're getting pass catchers. They're going to be able to find separation, find space in the defense, and hope that Allen can find them at the same time and deliver the ball. That's going to be a big what-if question. That's, you know, the whole thing about Allen's development. And I'm excited to see what that means in training camp and as they develop more and more chemistry through the preseason into the regular season where, you know, the rubber really will meet the road. Thanks for your question at Rumblings Q&A. That is how you find us on Twitter. Our 2019 NFL draft coverage has started in earnest at BuffaloRumblings.com. We've got trade down articles. We've got profiles of some of the top 10, 11, 12 players that the Bills could target with that number 9 overall pick. We've got scouting reports on those guys and film analysis and all the stuff that would go into, you know, making a good decision on that. Just check it out at BuffaloRumblings.com. As always, we look forward to answering your questions next week. Give us a call and leave a voicemail at 716-508-0405. Send us tweets at Rumblings Q&A with the word and spelled out in the middle of it. You can send us emails like the ones we read today at BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. You can send us Facebook messages, leave comments in the comment section at Buffalo Rumblings, specifically on our Q&A posts every Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, go Bills.